Almost live from a very cool corner of Midtown Sacramento, it's the Nate Darling Show, featuring Mel Gelbart and Larry Mead. Now, from one end of his cheap IKEA couch, here's Nate.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Nate Darling Show. With me, as always, is my friend Mel. Hello, Mel.
Hiya.
And my friend Larry.
Holla, bitches.
We all survived Halloween.
Ow!
And we all partied together at Larry's party.
Yes, we did.
It was fun. I have to say, it was an incredibly fun party. We had a snow cone machine.
You did have a snow cone machine.
And we made adult snow cones.
It was. It was very cool. And if you've liked us on Facebook, you can get to see a picture of the three of us together in costume.
In our awesome costumes.
Yes. So I had lots of glitter.
You still have lots of glitter.
You still have lots
it's
of glitter.
It's never going away, people.
So just to recap, Mel was Harry Carey. Larry was Kesha.
I was Kesha.
Awesome.
And Mel, I'll tell you the moment which I decided to leave Larry's party. And I was an Occupy Oakland protester with half of my face melted off.
You were.
here was the point at which I decided to leave Larry's party. And I was getting kind of tired, too, because I'd been there for a while. And I'd had enough drinks that I was like, okay, I'm good. I'm not drunk, but I'm feeling good. And it's time for me to walk home.
Yeah.
Larry is in the living room.
Uh-oh, I'm nervous. And there, this was.
And there are people taking pictures of him.
Because, oh, I do remember.
Because he's in full effect. And Larry does this thing where he is standing on his left leg and he's reaching back with his right hand and pulling his right leg up and you know, striking a pose like that.
I'm very bendy, people.
Sort of like a little teapot. Leaning over.
It's the warrior pose in yoga, sort of.
And then I hear the girl that was taking a picture of Larry say, and I quote, "Larry, I can see your vagina."
Yes, because earlier in the evening, so if you go online, you can see my picture. I created
awesome.
I don't even know how to describe it, but Kesha wears animal print. So I found an animal muumuu and I cut it to kind of be like this ripped dress thing, but it was really short, like how she wears them. But I cut them back a little too short. So I wore like ripped stockings, just like her song. And I had like black biker shorts, but I wore my Superman underwear underneath that. But I was joking that like if I was a girl, my vagina would be flashing all over the place. So someone said I should have gotten a sewn-on vagina.
Gross.
I'm very bendy. People are always surprised with how bendy I am.
You're pretty bendy.
I'm flexible.
I was really impressed with Bert and Ernie. I liked
them. So there was this couple, Andy, who I work with, and his girlfriend, Katrina. She handmade those.
I know. She
didn't study fashion design. She was just like.
And she said she didn't even have a pattern.
It took her forever. You know? She was like, it took a long time. But they were so cute. They brought a letter H, and they brought Sesame Street cups and a flask. It was awesome.
A flask with a rubber ducky on it.
They committed to it. Full bore. Yeah. And I can only imagine that without a pattern, without any real training like that, that was a lot of trial and error.
You know, it was funny too, because I thought my costume was the most like, you know, deep and people didn't know what the hell I was. And it was so confusing. But Nate explaining his costume to this woman that was there. And I don't know who she was.
Who was she?
I don't know. But she did not get it. At all, and he explained it, and she still was blank. And I
wonder who it was.
I thought my costume was confusing.
I want to believe all my friends would know who Occupy Oakland is.
Well, my costume, I don't think my costume was confusing at all because I had an Occupy Oakland sign.
Right. I don't think she understood. Then why is your face like that?
Right. Well. Basically, I got this latex appliance that glued onto my face.
It was pretty sweet.
It was gross.
Sweet.
Thank you. And with the makeup and the blood and the stuff like that, it looked like a good half of my face was ripped off. And it was sort of an homage to the former Marine who got hit in the head with the tear gas in the Occupy Oakland protest. So that was kind of the inspiration for it. And she's the only one who didn't get it. And I think a lot of that comes from – I hear a lot of people go and tell me, I don't watch any news ever. And I'm like, and you know what? Every now and then, and I know I work for a TV station and this is kind of what I do, but if only to not look like the dumbass at the party, once a week, once a week, sit down and watch one local newscast.
Yeah, TMZ does not count.
TMZ
or Perez Hilton, although he is one of my main news sources.
And you're probably not going to get it on. I know you think you're going to get it online. You're probably not going to get it on. There's a reason that people are paid money to go out and gather news and provide it to you. And it's so you don't look like a dumbass at parties.
Yeah. Well, especially if you don't like that, I feel like you might surround yourself with people who don't. So if all you rely is on their Facebook feed to actually get what's going on in the world, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough time. Now, speaking of what's going on in the world, this is almost breaking news. It happened yesterday.
Oh, I think I know what it is.
Kim Kardashian.
Shocker.
Kim Kardashian has filed for divorce after 72 days of marriage.
You straight people.
You know, I don't know if I even feel bad for Chris Humphries. I just think they're both ding-dongs.
Well, we'll get into that, but let me break it down for anybody who doesn't know.
So sad.
Yeah. After millions of dollars and many hours on E leading up to their wedding.
On ecstasy?
E exclamation point. Sorry. Oh. It's over for the newlyweds, Kim Kardashian and Chris Humphries. She filed for divorce on Halloween, citing irreconcilable differences, according to TMZ, and they got the documents for it. Here is where I felt bad for Chris Humphries. He supposedly found out that she filed divorce papers from reading it on TMZ.
You know what? Part of me really believes that all of this, from beginning, middle to end to right now, is all publicity stunts. All of it.
We're talking about it.
And even, you know, and maybe the deal was even like, you can walk away from it the victim because I still get to be famous. So we'll say that you're the heartbroken guy so you can get back to your little life, whatever it is. We don't care. Nobody cares. And I can go back to being Kim K.
His little life, he's an NBA player.
Yeah, he's a millionaire.
I know right now he's unemployed.
Trust me, to her, that's exactly what she said. You can go back to your little basketball thing and, you know, poor, spurned guy so you can find another girl and I can go back to being the greatest thing since, you know, whatever.
Well, I don't know if she's the greatest thing.
She believes she is.
She's no Tanya Harding.
Ah.
Well, here's what she told E! News. After careful consideration, I've decided to end my marriage. End my marriage. Not ours, my. I think that's very telling. I hope everyone understands this was not an easy decision. You know, that's what bitches say. When they want to justify something, they go, you know, it wasn't easy for me to decide to do this.
But I wanted to cut off your leg.
It was a hard decision.
Yeah, right.
I had hoped this marriage was forever, but sometimes things don't work out as planned.
I hate her so much.
We remain friends and wish each other the best. Go ahead.
Catholic?
No.
Go ahead, use it.
She's such a communist.
She's a communist. You can put the K, if you really want to make it special for her, you can use a cunt with a K.
Yeah,
if you'd like.
She's a Kardashian. Yeah.
Call her St. Mary's University. You know why?
No.
Because it's a Catholic university in North Texas, which they were originally going to go by at one point. Their name was going to be the Catholic University of North Texas.
Cunt. Love
I'm
it.
I'm serious.
That is awesome.
Isn't that amazing?
Glad somebody noticed the acronym.
Mm-hmm. I have to say, I wrote on Facebook that Kim Kardashian's a bigger threat to the sanctity of marriage than I ever will be. And like 85 people or something have liked it, and like it's made me giggle.
Well, yeah, all of the friends in the... in the Rainbow Coalition.
Yeah, but I think it was mostly straighties that liked it.
Oh, yeah, there's that. But
straight guilt? There's like white guilt?
Oh, God, yes.
Do you guys have straight guilt?
Well, I don't.
Do you have straight guilt?
I'm not sure I understand even what that means.
Like, well, you know, white guilt, like, there's some white people just inherently feel guilty just for being white, so they have to, like, justify behaviors or, like, oh, well, I'm going to hire this black man because of whatever. Not saying that that's the only reason, but like white people feel guilty, so it's why. White guilt, some people say, is why Obama won. Like, it's a very liberal thing to feel guilty for being white. In my opinion,
I get white guilt.
Guilt would be like, gay people are more cooler than white, or straight people.
Yeah, it's straight people that want to apologize for Prop 8
Which
and
they
things
should,
like that.
Bitches.
and you know, I learned a lesson from a nun a long time ago.
Uh-oh.
And this is one of the very few things I actually learned in Catholic school that served me well throughout my life. There were kids, and this I think was like 6th or 7th grade. I forget exactly what year it was, but no, it would have been 7th. And they said, "Sister, you always make us feel so guilty." And she came back. She thought she was being really smart and really deep and insightful. She said, "No, I don't make you feel guilty. Guilt is something you have to accept onto yourself. If you don't accept it, there's no one that can make you feel guilty."
Hmm.
So with that bit of knowledge, I went out armed into the world, knowing that no one can make me feel guilty.
It's true.
It's not that I don't feel guilty about things. There are things that I might do that I will feel guilty about because I made somebody feel bad or something like that. But I don't feel guilty for stuff I have nothing to do with. I know that will probably upset our friend Kareem greatly, but sorry, I don't feel guilty for slavery, even though I've worn cotton in the last 400 years.
That's racist.
So another update from
now Kareem's going to be all mad at you. Oh, great.
Well, Kareem's going to come back in a few weeks.
He won't be mad at me. I'm a fellow minority.
Well, you're going to be in Spain when he's back.
Olé.
We're going to have him fill in for you on vacation. Chris Humphries also released a statement to TMZ about Kim filing for divorce.
Oh, Lord.
In fact, he reportedly heard via TMZ's initial story, and Chris said, "I love my wife and am devastated to learn she's filed for divorce. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it work."
I don't believe any of it for some reason. I just think it's all crap.
I think it's very rich, privileged people bored. Yeah. And so it's what they do. It's drama.
And none of it means anything to them anyway.
I would be, if I gave them a gift, I'd be fucking jealous and pissed off. I'd be like, bitches, give me my place.
Well, etiquette
setting.
Says that they should.
Right. It's within a year, isn't it?
I think within like four months or six months or something.
Yeah, it's like 6 months. I would feel really pissed if I had spent any time watching the wedding special on E. Because that I would have been like, you stole that time that I'll never get back.
You still get to see the beautiful dresses and the beautiful cake and...
Now, although Kim Kardashian's family's avoided commenting on news of her divorce, they
shy away from
it. They're not going to talk about it till it's on their show.
Well, they've released statements on their blogs. Courtney writes, "Our sister, yes, our blogs, as though that's official. Our sister is going through a difficult time, but we're a close family and are sticking together like always. Kim, we love you. We appreciate everyone's kindness and support." Chloe writes, "I just want to thank all of our amazing fans for your unconditional love and support. My sister is going through a very difficult time. Wah, wah, wah. Your kindness right now means the world to us all. Kim, we love you more than anything."
I just vomited in my mouth a little.
I know. The other thing that was funny was they said
part of the reason was because he wants to live in Minnesota or wherever, Wisconsin.
Yeah, he's from Minnesota, and they apparently had talked about, this was part of the story, they had talked about they would establish their home.
Dual residences or something.
Well, their main home would be in Minnesota. That would be where they would live.
How could they have ever discussed that, though? That's retarded. She does shows in New York and L.A.
Okay.
When is she ever going to be in Minnesota?
Let me explain something to you, Mel. Let me explain how women work. She had no plan
to ever be in Minnesota.
Right. Well, this is how women work. Women, when they hear something they don't like, oftentimes we'll sort of compartmentalize that in the back and go, we'll just deal with that later. We'll fix that later. And then...
I would say you're wrong, but you're not.
No, I'm not at all wrong. I've encountered this myself, and Mel just hit me because I'm right.
Thank you so much.
Because I'm right. And my guess, what happened is in the past 72 days, he said, okay, now we're married. Let's start out. And you know, the NBA is locked out. Let's start shopping for a house and... In beautiful St. Olaf, Minnesota, or wherever. And she's like, what? And he's like, look, we agreed we're going to live in Minnesota. And she's like, I'm not living in Minnesota. So that's kind of how I envision it playing out in my mind.
Now, this is why, ladies and gentlemen, I am going to launch a campaign to ban straight people from getting married, because they clearly cannot handle it.
Amen. I agree. I'm on board. I'll sign your petition.
I'm 0-2. I can't argue. Mm. So... anyway, that's...
Yeah, really. You're over two. You don't get any more either. You're done. We're all in no marriage.
Look, in the United States of America, a good Christian country that keeps gays from marrying, in many states, I get as many as I decide I want.
Yeah, way to throw it in my face.
I know some people make it like a hobby.
I know. It's,
you're like Chandler.
It's a shitty hobby. No, it was Ross that got married.
Oh, Ross.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. That's the Kardashian stuff. Hey, now we discussed Halloween, but did anybody have a really good Jesus-ween this year?
That's so... okay, ladies and gentlemen, I've said that twice. I don't know what pisses me off more. People that don't celebrate Halloween, or people think that Halloween is evil and they have to reclaim it for Jesus.
Well, there we go.
Halloween has origins.
Well, there's a new Christian alternative.
This is so weird.
Jesus-ween that has people all over the country
talking.
Sounds
like you're talking about Jesus' penis.
I know.
It does.
Is that ugly enough? Every year, October 31st is a day to dress however you want.
Because it's that one day that you can do whatever.
Me and my roommate, I think, are going to be Luigi and Mario. These little green
slutty Luigi and Mario.
Which I saw a ton of downtown, by the way. There was a lot of Luigi's and Mario's. Very popular.
Yeah, you know why? Because it was on sale at the costume store.
Oh, I didn't know that.
My youngest always says, it's just the devil's birthday.
That's what inspired Jesus Ween.
It's not the devil's birthday.
Why are people
so historically inaccurate?
It's a day to celebrate ungodly images and evil characters.
Oh, God.
Who wants that to change?
We don't take it as anything bad or serious. We take it as that one holiday a year where you just get out.
Are they at a rave?
It's what you
no, they're in Texas.
Because it's so acceptable to knock on doors on Halloween, Jesus Ween suggests preaching to your neighbors. And instead of handing out candy, it says you should hand out Bibles.
But what would the Christians say if people were handing out Korans?
So
they'd freak out.
A Halloween. Happy Halloween.
So Jesus Ween, they want you to spread the word by handing out Bibles. Now, if you want to be the most hated house on the block next year, don't hand out toothbrushes and floss. Don't hand out apples.
Mini Gideons.
Hand out a mini Gideon Bible or a pamphlet or just a picture of Jesus.
You're so stupid.
That's what I'm doing next year. Just photos of Jesus.
No, and if people say anything like, I'm Jewish.
Oh, and you know what? Make them
happy Jewish Ween.
Make them autograph pictures of Jesus.
I love Jesus.
So people are dumb.
Mel just said she loves Jesus. I think I converted her.
Are you a Jew for Jesus?
I don't even get those people. What a bunch. Talk about whack fucking jobs.
They're Jewish culturally. They just believe that Jesus actually came
back.
That's
retarded and no such thing. They're idiots. They can suck
Jesus
my wiener.
Never came back?
They can suck my Jesus ween.
Why are you calling my religion a fraud? Clearly you don't celebrate Jesus ween like I do.
I do not. I eat candy and I went out and saw all the slutty girls in their slutty costumes. We had so much fun watching them down in Midtown over
the
weekend.
I love slutty girls.
There was a ton of them and there were some that were just amazingly sexy slutty. Mm. And then we saw a stuffed bunny, which was a super sexy bunny costume on a super chubby girl. So she looked like a Playboy bunny that ate two other Playboy bunnies.
That's sexy. The more cushion, the better the pushing.
It was funny. It was adorable. I don't understand the big girls that wear the little tiny.
They feel confident in themselves.
Yeah, good for them. God bless them. But she did look.
You just sounded like my.
She
like
looked like she ate the other two bunnies.
Aunt.
I mean,
God bless her.
God bless
she
her.
Loves to, she loves those sleeveless
she was
tops.
A, she was.
God
a,
bless
she
her.
Was a stuffed bunny.
Well, I mean. Halloween has become the holiday that no matter who you are, you can dress like a giant whore.
I know. I didn't get the memo. I did not dress like a slut.
There
I'm
were
sorry.
A lot of dudes dressed like girls for Halloween.
Well,
and there always
like,
are.
I know, but I felt like a lot of my friends who I would definitely call butch dudes, straight and gay, a lot of cross-dressing going on.
Your friend in the all-white at your party with a super hairy
back?
Yeah,
my friend Travis.
Wow. Hairy back in lace. That was awesome.
His friend, well, our friend Abe that also came, holy, he looked like a girl.
It was his eye makeup was outrageous.
His friend works for Mac, and so.
It looked
but
really
it
good.
It was ridiculous. Like, it just kept staring. I was like, I can't even handle this. Like, I felt uncomfortable.
They both looked lovely, but the hairy back just was very distracting.
He's got a hairy.
Wow.
We call it the sweater.
Yeah.
That was unfortunate.
It was fun.
Yeah, speaking of characters, because everybody loves characters at Halloween, and this is a character from your home state of Ohio.
Woot.
That's right.
O-H.
I-O.
Yay.
Joe the Plumber is plunging into politics.
Tragic.
Because he thinks it's about time America had a few mechanics, bricklayers, and yes, even some plumbers in Congress.
I'm going to lead by serving you. Each and every person in this district, I plan on serving. You know, I'm going to represent everybody. And by God, I really want you to understand this. I'm not doing this because I want to be a congressman. I'm not doing this because I like power.
Uh-huh.
I'm not doing this for any other reason, but I want to serve my fellow American. I did it in the United States Air Force, and I have an opportunity to do it again serving you as your next congressman.
Bye-bye.
What is going on with our politicians? That we have people that think, like, Herman Cain ran a pizza place and thought he can be president. And I just sounded Southern for some reason.
I know.
But like, really, what is up with, like, Joe was a plumber who was kind of dumb and not even really a real plumber from what I understand.
Right. His Joe the Plumber is not named Joe and he is not a plumber.
It's so weird.
So there's a, but he is from Ohio, so he fits right in. What I
found,
sorry, I couldn't resist. What I found really interesting about the whole thing was he decided to make his announcement at he's from the Toledo area, much like Max Klinger from the show MASH.
Speaking of crossdressers.
And he made the announcement at Tony Paco's Hot Dogs, which they referenced in an episode of MASH. And I never realized that that was an actual place. Yeah. But in fact, not only is it an actual place, it apparently has been around since the Korean War.
Yeah.
Or at least since the 70s when they filmed MASH.
It's an institution.
Well, and there,
if you will.
And where better to announce that you want to be a U.S. congressman than at the hot dog stand?
Well, if your whole platform is based on I'm of the people, blue collar guy, you know, I'm surprised he didn't do it at a, you know.
He should have done it from a Korean taco truck.
Right? I almost.
Do they have those in Toledo?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Toledo is known as the Glass City because so much glass is made there.
Oh, I thought.
That's what their football stadium at Toledo is called the Glass Bowl. They have a drum and bugle corps from Toledo called the Glassmen.
Boring us now.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just kidding.
Hello.
I just wanted to be mean to you. I'm sorry. I love you.
Toledo also used to have an airport called Toledo Express.
No, really. We don't want to hear about that.
But then it closed. There's no flights there anymore.
So if you want to fly to Toledo, you're
holy
shit.
Holy Toledo.
Holy. You blew out my eardrum.
Now, Larry was so boring, I had to turn his microphone off because he blew it out. I turned him off for just a second. All right, I'm going to bring him back
That's
out.
That's awesome.
Now I feel better.
That was awesome. Do it again.
Holy Toledo. No.
Well, he just sort of blew out the mic for half a second there. So now it's time for our original segment on the show, and we all know that as...
Oh, good.
Cool.
Hey. Whoa.
We added a Joey Lawrence reference.
Did we cover enough to already cool or tool? I'm ready, but oh my gosh.
We did.
Very excited. This might be
all right, I'm ready.
We're 20 minutes into the show, Mel. We're moving along. First up on Cooler Tool, and she is a fixture. In Cooler Tool, Kim Kardashian.
Tool. Ugh.
Mel?
You know, I gave her, I think, two cools up to this point, but I think because of this latest behavior, I'm tool. And cunt with a K.
I'm going to ditto that. That's she said it, Larry. Larry is shocked.
Holy.
And I don't take it back and I don't regret it, so meh.
That's right. Well, that's why we have the explicit tag on the show, so we can say cunt if we'd like.
And I never hardly ever use that word.
It's an ugly
word, but... Well,
not if you're in Great Britain,
cunt.
It's not. I'd like more British listeners, so...
Yeah, there's actually an album that I have, and the lady uses the word in a song in it the first time I heard it, sort of. Because she said, you might have thought I was a bit of a cunt, and I'm like, whoa, really? But I guess it's, yeah.
Yeah, and in Australia, where another place I would love to have more listeners. So, hey, you cunts, listen... Anyway, next up on Cooler Tool.
You didn't answer.
Oh, she's a giant tool.
Okay.
Sorry.
I like starting with the easy one.
Yeah, that's the easiest one. The next one is Jesus Ween.
Tool. No explanation needed.
Okay, Mel, what do you think?
Yeah, stupid tool, dum-dum heads.
Anytime you hear of something the first time and you think it's a ridiculous joke... Then it's obviously a tool move, and it shockingly originated from Texas, where Rick Perry, the presidential candidate Rick Perry is hailing from. Jesus Ween, come on, go ahead. All Saints Day is the next day, so really, do you really need to yank Jesus up on Halloween?
No. Please, Jesus would love Halloween.
And really, do think, what would the Christians do if other religions did the same thing to the holiday?
Yeah.
They would freak out.
Well, I mean, Bill O'Reilly freaks out because people want to celebrate, like, Hanukkah near Christmas and stuff like that. It's the war on Christmas!
You know, when I was a cop at my department, they had, one of the first years I was there, they did a big Christmas tree and all the whole, like... rigmarole on the counters.
Rigmarole?
You know, I don't know. The
nativity scene?
The green stuff hanging everywhere and the tinsely stuff and all the
like
whatever.
Like wreaths?
Yeah, and like a Christmas tree and everything. So I thought, oh, you know what would be cool is if I brought in like a menorah and a dreidel and some stuff to sort of even it out.
To Jew it up?
To Jew it up a little. And one of the guys freaked out and he was like, you can't bring that in here.
This is what he said.
Yeah, he like denied. And I was like, why? And he goes, well, separation of church and state. We're, you know, we're a government entity. You can't have religious stuff in here. And I was like, wait, what about the Christmas tree and all the stuff?
But
and
the,
he goes,
the rule of Christmas tree isn't a religious symbol.
It's not.
He said it's a, that's a national holiday.
Mm. It's true. That's,
and I was,
these
just
damn Jews.
Wow, I was floored.
Do you view a Christmas tree as religious? I'm not asking that like to be crazy. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's all stuff that is associated and representative of Christmas. Mm. Now, that doesn't mean I don't love it, because I decorate for Christmas like crazy.
Yeah,
I
you
actually
do.
My boyfriend is, okay, my boyfriend's atheist, I should say, but he was raised Christian, so he's more Christian than I ever have been. And he hates all that crap. Like, he cannot stand the mess and the, you know, he, you know, part of it I think is because he's so green that the thought of killing a tree to do that to it, to humiliate it and dress it up, offends him for some reason. So I think he doesn't like to kill a tree, and then he doesn't like the mess of it and
but
whatever.
But it's not like people go out into like an endangered forest
and
hunt down trees. They're grown
he just doesn't like it. It's not his thing. And every year I insist that he gets, and he gets one of those little, like a little bush, like a little Hanukkah bush. And I decorate it with
Hanukkah bush.
Yeah, and I have like a few little ornaments that I have. Oh. I have ornaments. He doesn't even have ornaments. Like, I think Christmas is beautiful. I'm
so
not
much fun.
Offended.
Festive.
You know, when I go places and people say, you know, when I go shopping at the holidays and people say Merry Christmas, I just like, Merry Christmas to you. Like, none of that stuff drives me. I hate people that get all hypersensitive over that
me
shit.
Me too. It
drives me crazy. Mel, doesn't bother me at all.
Do you vajazzle the Hanukkah bush? Sorry, I had to do that.
Maybe.
All right. So it's time for good news. Oftentimes we throw stuff at people right at the top of the show. I wanted to save this for a little bit further in.
Good news.
I don't think I know it, do I?
You do not know. Well, you know, you might know some of it. You don't know the other part. We've got two bits of good news. First of all, I want to thank everybody who's been listening. Our numbers are through the roof, and I'm not going to talk numbers anymore because it starts to sound kind of dickish.
Yeah.
We've become officially, though, in podcast land, we're officially a big deal.
I don't know about that, but
I think so.
To all of you.
For a Sacramento-based comedy podcast and out of a living room, we're a huge deal.
We're like in the upper echelon.
So I want to thank all of our listeners for listening, for downloading, for telling your friends and doing all that, because it does make a difference. That's how a show with three friends done out of a living room in a one-bedroom apartment gets the number of listeners that we have. And we really do appreciate it.
So I'd like to give a special friend, and they'll tell a friend, and they'll tell another friend.
Special shout-out to our number one fan in Portland, Eric.
Yes, who not only wrote back and sent us a picture of himself as a Buddha last year.
I have to reply to that, Eric. I'm sorry.
Larry will get back to you.
Yeah, I will.
Here's what Eric did, and this is why he is our number one fan. He was listening to and he mentioned this in the email. He was listening to the last podcast, the Halloween one, where we read his letter, and he started laughing, as most people do when they listen to the show. And so people started to gather around to find out what was so funny. And then he played the part again that he was laughing at, and his coworkers started laughing. So that's the type of infectious thing. And then he emailed out the link to our show to his friends. So that's,
yay, all of Portland's listening. I love Portland.
Well, assuming Eric has a lot of friends. We don't know this.
He seems like someone that would.
Yeah, he seems like a really awesome, smart, funny guy.
I don't know if you're being sarcastic, but I kind of think it's probably true.
No, he is. About him. He listens to us.
And he did.
He's cute.
And if he dressed as Kesha this year, I think we might have an issue.
I'll marry him.
So, well, not.
We could have a Kesha-themed wedding. Oh, my fucking God. Sorry,
it's fine.
They gave me a glitter boner.
That's fine. So
wow.
So thank you, everybody. Keep up the good work and keep spreading the word, because this is still the ground floor to get on this. We've got tons of room to grow, and we really appreciate everybody who's joining in. And we want to thank Huge Entertainment because we couldn't be doing this without them. Without this, we could do a podcast, but it would sound like a lot of the crappy podcasts you hear, where it sounds like a bunch of people huddled around one microphone, in a big empty. No, we each have our own microphone here.
No, I mean the other ones. Really, they sound like that because they are. They're just sitting on each other's laps.
Right, and we
all sit on your lap.
This is really an internet radio show. It's not. I mean, it is a podcast, but it's really a radio show that we do for the internet. It's the next generation of radio.
I want to do like a Howard Stern version. Then can we get some strippers?
If
yes.
Sure.
Okay.
Larry loves strippers.
Larry, too. I know some.
Excellent. Larry will get us strippers. We'll do a show.
I think it's hot to go to strip clubs. Is that awkward? Mm-hmm.
No, I like strip clubs.
Me too.
Agreed. All right.
Cool.
So now to the good news. Ooh, now to the good news, for our fans. We now have show merchandise that if you as a fan would like to purchase and wear, you can. There is a link on natedarlingshow.com. And it will take you to our store at Zazzle. And we have men's T-shirts, ladies' T-shirts, and a value T-shirt. And you can get a T-shirt for as little as $15.
Awesome.
That's where they start. And what we did when we set up the store was you can customize. So you can pick another style of shirt.
Ooh.
So you don't have to pick what's on there. Most places you get what you get. Here you can go and you can, if you want to make a hoodie with our logo on it, you can go ahead and do that. You can make, there's like 15 or 17 types of ladies' shirts, long sleeve, short sleeve. You can make whatever you want, and you can order it. I ordered my shirt already, so hopefully that'll be getting here in the next week or so.
It's like choose your own adventure, but with T-shirts.
Yeah.
It is. And the other thing is if you don't want a T-shirt, and that's cool. I mean, if you want to buy something, great. If you don't, that's cool. We love having you listen. If you want to come in at a lower price point for $4.95, I think, you can get a sheet of four oval-shaped Nate Darling Show stickers.
That's pretty awesome.
So we made that. So that's
can
great.
We make fanny packs?
No. It's
not 1980 anymore.
It's the first. No, they're in again. Literally, all the high-end fashion designers, they're all fanny packs are back.
Nothing will make me go back.
It's serious. If 135 people buy T-shirts in the next month, I will give every listener a fanny pack.
He's lying right now.
No, I'm not.
Well, then you're on the hook for the fanny pack.
Done. If 135 people bought T-shirts from us, I would die. It would be funny.
It would be funny. So that's good news number one. So the link to that is on NateDarlingShow.com. The other thing, and this just happened, I started this last night, and it just came through today just before noon. You can listen to us on your smartphone.
Ooh.
Any smartphone. We are on Stitcher. And Stitcher is an app that you can download at the App Store, and you can also hit the link on our website. Hold on a second.
That's kind of exciting.
I know it is. Let me find
it. I don't really understand apps and stuff because I don't have a smartphone, but that sounds awesome. And it's easy, and is it easy and like free?
It's absolutely free. Ooh. And once you download it, you can set up favorite podcasts. Once you search for our show and you favorite us, when you open up Stitcher and go to your favorites, we'll be right there. And the cool thing about it is if you're listening to the show, let's say you're going, you've got your phone plugged in, it's in your car, it's plugged into your car stereo, and you go for a 20-minute drive. Mm. And you get there, and you go, okay, I'm here. You close the app. You come back to drive back. You open the app back up. It remembers where you were in the podcast.
Oh, that's handy.
It's like a cassette tape.
That's really handy.
Well, it's also like an iPod in that if you can stop your iPod if you download a podcast and just go where you're going to go. And so, yeah, we are on Stitcher, and I've lost my paper.
Uh-oh. Your Stitcher paper?
The Stitcher paper. It's around somewhere. Somewhere around here. There's a sheet of paper with that on it.
You're supposed to put everything on your...
I know.
It's what's it called? I already forgot. Shut up. Your music stand.
It's not a music stand. It's a copy stand.
Copy stand. I keep forgetting the word copy. I'm not in the biz.
Oh, you know why? God, I'm an idiot. Because I printed on both sides of the paper.
Oh, look, you saved a tree, though.
I did.
Put it on your copy stand.
So you can – this is the official stuff from Stitcher. So this is what we have to do to keep our content on their site is we do them. You can now hear The Nate Darling Show while you're on the go at Stitcher Smart Radio. They've got on-demand news, talk, and more right on your mobile phone. The latest episode is always available for you. There's no syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. It streams right into your phone.
Nice.
It's available for your iPhone, Android phones, WebOS phones, or your BlackBerry. Downloading is easy. Go to Stitcher.com or check out the App Store on your phone. Stitcher Smart Radio. It is the smarter way to listen to radio.
Nate, you should record commercials. You have a very good voice for that.
Thanks. That's one of the things I used to do. When you're a DJ, that's one of the things you have to do when you get done your air shift.
You could do phone sex.
I could, too.
What are you wearing, little lady?
Wow.
Hey, baby.
The chicks are into that. So, yeah, there is a link for that on natedarlingshow.com, and you can click over to Stitcher And you can put in what kind of phone it is and your phone number, and it'll download it that way. Or you can go to the App Store and get it. So now it's just another way that makes it easier for you to listen to us.
Somebody
on the go.
Should buy me a smartphone.
So you don't have to have an iPod. You don't have to sit at your computer. You can be anywhere where you have phone service and listen to the show.
So on a side note, sort of along these lines.
Yes.
So as you guys know, I'm really not technologically savvy.
What?
If you didn't know, you know now. And
Mel still sends beeps and pages to people.
Well, yeah, I never owned any of this stuff. And a couple years ago, a friend showed up at my door, literally like 2 years ago, a friend showed up at my door with a computer and an iPod and went, here, join the 21st century.
Wow. How'd that go?
And I was like, okay. And it took me a while because I'm so cheap and I didn't want to get internet service because I didn't know if I'd use it. But it turns out I use it. So I have the computer, but the iPod was like, you know, it's like, remember the old cell phones that you carry in a bag?
They were big.
It's a big, but I really like it. But the battery on it doesn't seem to hold a charge.
Because it's how old?
Really old.
Yeah.
And so I went into the Apple store, which I knew was going to be traumatic for me because I just, it's not my element. And I walk in and it's like a beehive. You know, everybody seemed to have a purpose. Customers, working people there, everybody seemed to know right. what they were doing. And they were all going everywhere and running around. And it was a whir. And I just stood there in the middle getting bumped into. And finally a guy comes up to me and goes, can he help you? And I said, I need a new battery for my iPod.
Oh.
And he goes,
oh, dear.
First of all, if you need your iPod looked at, you're going to need to see one of the technicians and we can get you an appointment, but no sooner than tomorrow. I was like, okay, but I don't really need to see the technician. I know I just need a battery. And he goes, well, you need to see a technician to find out what's wrong with your iPod before we can do anything to repair your iPod. And I said, I know, but I know what's wrong with it. Can I just buy the battery? He goes, we don't change batteries. You just get a new iPod.
Duh.
Yeah, Mel's having 1999 problems.
You think it's like a
Discman? That doesn't make any sense to me. Well, iPods are expensive. When the battery dies, you just have to get a new one?
Yes.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
the?
And that was no. that was the problem with the real with the first generation iPods is A, they were more expensive than they are now, and B, the battery technology meant the batteries died a lot sooner.
What's an iPod run for these days, kids?
You can get a you
cheap.
Can get a, you can get a shuffle for like $50.
What's English
shuffle doesn't have a display. It's tiny.
Right.
You just
oh no,
it.
No, I don't want.
If
that.
You want a little display, I think they're like $140.
Yeah, for the next generation of what I have here, which is about 6 or 7 years old, it which is the iPod Nano, that's going to run you $130 to $150.
Okay, well, my birthday's in a couple weeks, so everyone listening, if everybody gives $2,
now you know you should never leave your iPod plugged in.
That. Well, to what?
To charge it. You should let it drain out pretty regularly.
Yeah.
No, I do. I listen to it till it's dead, and then I charge it back up. Okay, it just only lasts about four yeah. hours
welcome,
tops.
Welcome to How to Charge Batteries
that has
with Larry
to, if
Mead.
If it's a first generation, it literally has to be at least 8 years old, nine yeah. years old.
Oh, yeah. Mel's got old school problems.
I have really old school stuff because I didn't buy it.
But I remember when the iPod first came out that was one of the complaints that people had. And it was just really funny. I had like an 8-year-old flashback with you right there. That's how it
I
goes.
Didn't get one until I got I changed jobs, and I was embarrassed because I was living in D.C. and I took the metro, and I didn't want to act like I didn't have one, but I wanted to listen to music, so I kept my Discman in my backpack. This is a while ago, and I got
I still
really
have my Discman.
And so I finally got one. It's so nice to have that much music all in one little place. It makes traveling really easy if you travel.
I know, I'm sad because I'm going home in 3 weeks and now
buy,
I don't have an iPod.
Buy a new one.
Paul said he already did all my birthday shopping, so I'm going to have to go buy myself one.
Mm. Yeah, you could
get
it
at Target because you'll get a gift card for like $25 or $50.
Because
all places want to undersell it because they just want you to come and buy it.
Oh.
Right, and they can't discount the price of the iPod.
Right.
Because it's
contract, just like iPhone. Do you want to know something weird? Sprint, it now you can buy an iPhone through Sprint. They're one of the new carriers. For every iPhone they sell for $200, they have to pay Apple $622.
That doesn't make any sense.
Because the whole idea with phones is if you actually pay the real price, it'd be a lot more expensive.
Right.
You pay for the service. They give you the phone to keep the service because that's what the real product is. Is the service
oh,
that you
I
get.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And so Sprint is so confident that they're going to recoup that so quickly. It's crazy.
Wow.
Isn't that nuts?
Well, AT&T did something very similar when they started out. That's how they got the exclusive iPhone contract to begin with. But that's neither here nor there.
AT&T sucks.
Well, they have challenges.
Like if you want to use your phone at any time.
Yeah, there's that is a challenge.
I had to make that tough decision because I have an Evo now. You have an Evo too.
I
like it, but now that Sprint has iPhones, I never really thought about it before because I'm never going to leave Sprint. So Tough decision.
Oh, and I lost a little hooky thing that it keeps my Bluetooth attached to my ear, you know, just like the little clippy thing.
Yeah.
So I just had the Bluetooth and I was just like ramming it into my ear canal to make it like so I could hear. So I went, Nate is about to say something.
That would explain, because I'm sitting here in the house and all of a sudden I've got the TV on and I hear Mel having a very loud conversation outside. And the door and the windows are all closed. So I go and I open up the door and I see she's got the Bluetooth in and she gives me the, you know, the one finger up, like, it'll be just a minute. And I'm like, oh my God, there are people six blocks away that can hear you.
Okay, that has nothing to do with the clippy. My voice just is really loud and it carries because it's in a deep register, Nate.
Well, it does, because if you jam the earpiece so far into your ear, it would defect your ear.
I'm sorry. All I heard was jam it far into.
There you go.
I'm not even going to finish the story. Forget it.
Moving on.
Did you go to the store and try to get a clippy replacement?
I went to Verizon, and of course they were like,
get a new one.
Get a new one. So I went to a store that I'm not going to mention because, you know, unless they give me free stuff, I'm not going to advertise for everybody in town. But I went to another store, and they had one little clippy in a little plastic bag, so I got a new little clippy.
Okay.
Radio Shack?
I didn't even know that existed. It was the dollar store.
Do Radio Shack still exist?
They do.
Okay. I was sure you couldn't just buy a little clippy. I was sure I'd have to buy a new Bluetooth, which I wasn't going to do. I was going to jam that thing in my ear till it was dead.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, it was. In my ear.
Hey, speaking of dead, Amy Winehouse, we finally found out the official...
She's still dead?
The official cause of death was released.
Yeah, she was drunker than a fucking skunk.
She died of lethal amounts of alcohol in her blood. Is
shocker.
The official, and this is why British people are so fun, unless they're having a big fight or something. Death by misadventure is how it's officially
categorized.
That
sounds awesome.
Ooh, that sounds like a good Lifetime movie.
It does. Except she had more than five times the British drunk driving limit in her blood when she died.
Fuck yeah. If you're going to go out with a
big.
She had a blood alcohol level of 0.4%.
Wow, that's a lot.
Crap.
That is a lot.
Someone else could drink your blood at that point and get drunk.
Yeah. So we've established what. Oh,
sorry about Amy Winehouse.
Sorry about Amy Winehouse.
That's a lot of Zima.
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna get a little heavy right now.
I'm tired a little bit. Sorry, just yawned.
Well, Larry, we're gonna talk about gay bashing.
Oh no.
I threw
your face. It was so sad.
I don't want straight people to beat me up again.
Well, so more and more people are speaking out against bullying, but it still remains a practice distressingly common in the nation's school, and all too often gay teens are the victims. Now, the newest example is especially disturbing. This also from your home state of Ohio.
Oh, no.
Chillicothe, Ohio.
Chillicothe.
Whatever.
Near Chillicothe is Gallipolis. That doesn't look like Gallipolis anymore than Chillicothe. It looks like Chillicothe.
Good try, though, Chillicothe.
Welcome to Ohio. We pronounce every letter. a 15-year-old gay teen was beaten in a school classroom. The incident captured on camera because everybody's got a camera in their phone. It reveals a classroom full of students who did nothing to break up the assault. The attacking student got a 3-day suspension. But the mother of the student who was beaten says it isn't enough, and she is going to be pursuing her options with
the
law.
She should.
Here we go.
Hell yes, she should.
The boy stood there and waited on him, and waited on him, and waited on him. And then as soon as he walks in the door, the boy hits him. Zach walks away. What did I do? Why are you doing this? And he keeps walking away. Then he turns around, tries to defend himself. And he tries to get away again, and the boy grabs a hold of him and just knocks.
Yeah, I mean, you see in the video, the kid is doing like the pee-pee dance, just waiting on him. He's just waiting for the kid to come in the room. He's just lying in wait. Yeah.
Now I know what you're talking. It's totally premeditated.
And
3 days off. Give me a break.
And not to defend gay bashing, but this is something that's happened in schools for as long as there have been schools. The difference is there was no teacher or authority figure anywhere around to break it up. And it didn't just happen necessarily with gay students. It would happen with any student who was different, who was being bullied, because eventually you get a bully who oftentimes, Mel, you're a former cop, you know, a lot of these bullies sometimes come from a situation where their bully is their parent at home who does the same thing to them. But this was a pretty bad case that went on, and so.
Or if you're watching Glee, the bully is a bully because he's really closet gay.
He's so hot.
he's so your type.
Oh my God.
That's always the reason. Remember, all bullies are closeted gays.
One of the kind of related, but not really. The Onion has I don't know if you watch the Onion News Network now. It's a TV show. It's really funny. My favorite one was they had a campaign about teen smoking, and the campaign was smoking is gay. And they showed like these kids like, ooh, look, they're smoking. Show these hot guys smoking and like totally going at it. Like, ew, smoking's gay. Don't be gay. Don't smoke. It was awesome.
That's wrong.
So, well, and that brings up another point. As Mel says, that's wrong. It's now wrong to say something is gay.
Which it should be.
But you're delighted by this satire.
Because it's satire. If yeah. it was real people
Smokey
being...
Smokey is gay.
I've been out for a while. I started calling people out for using it. It's annoying.
Well, it's like when somebody says, oh, yeah, you Jewed him down.
I know. That's
and I'm
obnoxious.
Like, really?
That's like when you say, hey, did he Vermont her? Wow. I mean, you pour maple syrup over her head and then you punch her in the face.
Mel, you Jewed her. You Jewed him down. That is so gay.
Right?
How
Don't
about that?
Vermont her, Nate. Bam!
I'm pretty sure that's not going to catch
it's like on. That's like a Vermont donkey punch.
Yes.
We use a real donkey. It's true.
We use a real donkey.
You got to go authentic.
Ew. My sister took a class in college where she learned that like 1 in 4, 1 in 5 guys, boys that grew up on a farm have sex with an animal at some point in their childhood.
They stump train them.
Isn't that disgusting?
Wow.
Is that true in Vermont?
I don't know.
Meow.
Wow. Hey.
Things always take a turn with us, don't they?
Yeah. Fun fact.
Here's a fun fact. Whoopi Goldberg.
Oh, no.
Who goes through airport security with her vibrator in her luggage.
Hell yeah.
Now, why did you do that, Whoopi?
I wear mine in my holster, but that's another story. Let me just get this out. Now, the woman got to the hotel.
Why does Whoopi sound like Bill
going,
Cosby now?
And she was unpacking her luggage after
because
the
because
they're
the
she
same person.
She's,
she smoked for, she's that like
Take
raspy,
sex
old, sexy voice.
Get your freak on, girl.
That's awesome.
So yeah, TSA worker who was going through the luggage taped a note to the vibrator saying, get your freak on, girl.
You know, in the moment, people always think it's so funny till all of a sudden they find out they get caught for doing little random things like that that they mean no harm. And then it could go back and really bite that person.
Who are you talking about? The TSA?
Yeah, the TSA. Yeah. Like, every once in a while, we used to have dispatchers when I was a police officer that would do those teletypes and then inadvertently send them out. And then the whole state would get be on the lookout about... something in a very, very inappropriate.
Oh, so they're typing something up as a joke.
Yeah.
And it would go out as like an APB.
Like once a year, we, you know, somewhere in Ohio, you'd get one that would be like, what? Mm. You know, look out for this guy. He's cheating on his wife.
Oh, my.
You know?
Oh, no.
This guy's a douchebag. Bolo, this guy's a douchebag. Yeah.
That's hot.
It is. Welcome to Mel's life in the police force.
The only thing better than that, like workplace stories, are doctors that work in emergency rooms are going to tell you stories about things that dudes put in their butt.
My dad used to tell me lots of stories, not about people's butts, but other gross ER stories.
People are naughty, naughty bitches.
Yeah.
Bowling pins.
Oh. Oh.
Yeah. It's gross. A parking cone.
Speaking of being bendy and stretchy.
All right. Well, we need a palate cleanser from that. Let's go back to Whoopi and vibrators.
Yeah,
she
Whoopi.
Said she initially laughed it off, but then became disturbed by the invasion of privacy, so she tweeted. Tweeted.
She didn't like her privacy invaded, so she
and
tweeted.
Emailed the story to the New York Magazine, but she was really embarrassed.
Yeah. Right, she was embarrassed.
First of all, I just wonder why does everybody feel like they got to take the daggone vibrator every freaking where they go? Because you know what? That's exactly what I'm gonna tell you why.
Yes.
That's why I don't.
So here's what's going on.
Close for Sherry Springfield.
You got Sherry Shepherd.
Oh, there you go.
Sherry Shepherd. I made sure I knew who I was talking about. Sherry Shepherd, who gets super black at this moment. Normally, she doesn't get this black when she's talking on The View, but she went full-on ghetto when talking vibrators to Whoopi
that
Goldberg.
That was racist.
Well, then she shouldn't do it. So she and Whoopi are having this conversation about vibrators, and Elizabeth Hasselbeck, who is this... you know, pure Christian snowflake sitting on the end has the most horrified look on her face.
Oh, yeah.
For this whole thing.
Was she not sitting so rigidly?
Oh, my God. It was like she was smuggling
her cross up her ass.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It was hilarious. So we'll put that on our YouTube page so that people can take a look at what that was all about.
Though I do tend kind of agree, like, I don't, why do you need to take your vibrator everywhere you go? I mean, I can understand, like, maybe if you're going to meet your lover or going to, you know, a place where you know you might need it or want it, but I don't take it. Every time I take a plane trip, I don't need a vibrator.
Okay, if you travel a lot for work, I know people, all women, who if they're anywhere for a week, they need to because they want to be able to do that.
I guess
or
I'm
they're
not
tempted
that dependent
to not do anything
on a vibrator, so maybe that's why I don't get it too.
I have a friend who's going to go unnamed that keeps her vibrator in the glove box of her car. And when she gets stuck in any amount of traffic, she takes it out and entertains herself.
God gave me two hands. I don't need anything else.
Well, different folks, different strokes.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah, you need to keep one on the wheel for that. If you're in traffic, you got to keep one on the wheel.
I only need one hand, really, to get the job done.
And you know,
vagina masturbation creeps me out. I'm sorry.
Oh, that is unfair.
It is. I own it. It is, but I don't.
That's very unfair, Larry.
I don't mean to be vaginaist. I just don't understand the equipment. It's nothing about the person who it's on. It's just the. I don't understand the inner workings.
Do you want to?
No. Thank you.
Don't you think that would help the problem?
No, it's like a taco. That's all I know.
What?
That's what I call it. Pink taco.
Okay. Well,
Olay.
Well, I think part of the problem, too, and this came to light, we talked about this in an earlier podcast, is a lot of women don't really know what's going on down there either, and it's their own
stuff.
That's
why everybody's so sexually unsatisfied. Nobody knows how to use their stuff, and their partners don't know how to use their stuff, and everyone's scared of it.
Speak for yourself.
That's why being gay is the way, because you're with someone that has your equipment,
you know each other.
Even
that, yes, good point. However, that being said...
Larry, imagine two frightened lesbians not knowing what to do with it.
Oh, that's sad. Turn on Indigo Girls and let nature take its course.
And everybody's stuff works differently, on different days. Nate, tell me if this is true.
Okay.
One day, you'll be having sex with your girl, you'll hit her one perfect way, and she'll get off. And the next day, you'll do what you think you're bumping into her just the same spots or doing it just the same way. And it's day to day. It could be different.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It will change from day to day. And it varies from person to person because some people are very consistent with something. And just to be clear, I don't have a girlfriend right now. So, ladies.
I meant a girl in general.
No. I know what you mean.
Why didn't you talk to anybody at my party? There are tons of girls there.
You couldn't tell who was straight and who was gay.
Because, Larry,
that many lesbians. There's like two lesbians
at
my party.
I didn't know. And those would have been the ones I would have hit on. Because that's just how talented
I am. The one lesbian was dressed like a dude. Like, full-out dude. She was hot, by the way.
She looked cute.
Dan. Mama like. She put a sock in her pants.
Plus, I liked her facial hair.
Plus,
I did it.
Yeah, I saw. Yay.
And I didn't want to be the creepy guy hitting on.
Oh, no. There was a creepy guy that came at, like, I don't even know, 2 in the morning. It was really late.
Oh, wow.
And so we're outside, and this hot dude comes in and just sits, like, he comes in, like, in the front yard, sits down, and we're like, who is he? Everyone thought maybe he knew someone else. He looked hot. He was so drunk, though. Like, drunk. And I took it, him and my friend Aaron kept talking. And at one point, like, her dog came over. And so they were playing. She bent over. I took a picture of it. It looks like she's giving him a blowjob. I told her I took it so I could tell her grandkids how grandma met grandpa.
So even if you know the equipment, everybody's different. And everybody needs to understand what pleases their partner.
Yeah, but I think penises are pretty universal.
You know, I've met guys that, you know, they don't want certain parts touched during certain times, or it's super sensitive when they come, or they want you to keep touching it when they come. Everyone's a little bit different. You got to be able to communicate, or what's the point?
I don't think gay guys are like that.
Whatever.
No, I'm serious. Like, I mean, there's little nuances, but the, like, 90% of it's all the same.
I'm not going to argue with gay stuff with Larry. Because I don't know.
I'll take you up on gay stuff.
I'm not going to argue physics with Carl Sagan either.
Oh. Well,
there you go.
Thank you.
I don't know. I just thought I'd move us along from that segment. Yeah. Carl Sagan stops every conversation. That's a lesson to you kids. Hey, you know how normally we make fun of small town news?
Yes.
Well, we're going to do that later, but I have some big town news for you.
Ooh.
Because this stuff does not happen in a small town. A local man calling, not local to Sacramento, but it's in New York City.
New York City.
He's calling himself Mr. Pee-Pee, is on a mission to masturbate in every Starbucks bathroom
oh,
in New
yeah,
York.
Oh, yeah, I hate him.
I've heard this. It's awesome.
I hate
it's
this.
It's so
it's
sick.
Stupid.
And to photograph the results. Starbucks gossip reports.
I don't get it. I don't appreciate it. I don't find it funny. I think he's a douche.
I bet every dude loves it.
But get it out because we're not even letting you tell the story. I'm sorry.
No, it's I'm not a big fan of it either. But this just gets better. Starbucks gossip reports. Pee-Pee, a self-described, quote, big fan of Starbucks, like Mel is, revealed some details of his endeavor on a podcast on the Glory Hole Radio Network.
Oh, gross. No.
Everything about this person is disgusting to me.
Like I said, this is big town news, baby. This don't happen in a small town. I've got to rate bathrooms on cleanliness, Mr. Pee-Pee said on the Glory Hole podcast.
Oh, God.
And note if a person knocked on the door and interrupted me. One of his associates wanted Mr. Pee-Pee to also rate, quote, how hot the chicks were in the location.
He's straight?
They're just so
yes.
douchebaggy.
Customers and baristas, and how frequently did someone try to open the door when you were trying to jerk off? And lastly...
it's like little boy humor.
And lastly, how was the coffee?
I want some cream. I couldn't let that go.
Let's see. So... basically, there was a tweet from at Mr. Pee-Pee, and it's spelled out M-I-S-T-E-R-P-E-E-P-E-E. If you want to follow, I don't know why.
I am adding him right now.
Adding him now. Reads, today's Starbucks visit is rated as a 4 boner.
Yeah.
Spacious, children. I hate them. I want to kill them all.
Spacious, clean, excellent coffee, strong Wi-Fi, no interruptions, and one hot chick. So who is Mr. Pee-Pee? And has the intrepid jerk-off visited a Starbucks bathroom?
He's a New York senator.
He's a fourth. Now we know what Anthony Weiner's been doing.
Right.
Anyway, reach for comment and maybe a big reveal in the source. The Glory Hole Radio tells Huffington Post, quote, Mr. Pee-Pee is a legend amongst our fans and a private man. Sure he is. I'm just surprised. Such an old segment on our show is only getting attention now. So this happened a while ago.
What kind of... I mean, I can imagine, but what exactly is this glory hole blah, blah? What is it?
You don't know what a glory hole is?
No. I know what a glory hole is. Is this it's a podcast? It's a radio show? What is it?
Well, what happens is if you get – a lot of times what will happen is you will get a group of people who do different podcasts, and they put them together on one website. And like the Nerdist does that. There's like 11 podcasts if you go to Nerdist.com.
And they're all sort of themed.
Yeah, and there's a different theme to everyone. And his is called the Nerdist Network. And this is obviously the Glory Hole Radio Network.
So it's all just gross juvenile sex themed
Fuck yeah!
podcasts.
I don't know. There could be talking physics with Mr. Pee-Pee. We don't know.
They're talking about the international economy in Zimbabwe.
He's a private man. We'll never know. So that's some big town news for you. So if you think we only
and you just went to Starbucks.
No, I didn't. There was no Starbucks there. It was just a gutted shell
maybe
of a Starbucks.
Maybe because he did it because
he came all over the Starbucks.
He shot like a fire hose.
And it was toxic acid cum.
I'm going to go ahead and urge people not to be a copycat of this.
No, it's gross.
No, and that's the last thing. It's bad enough in Sacramento. There are trees that when they get trimmed around here, and you know the ones I'm talking about, trims and hedges,
yeah.
Trees and hedges, they get trimmed around here, and it smells like a cum shot outside. Seriously.
I know what you're talking about.
I know what you're talking about, but that's just a very odd reference for you to make.
Well, I'm not the first person to notice it. Someone told me, and I'm like, yeah, now that you mention it, I suppose it does.
Just cum really smell?
Yeah, it does. It's been a long time since you were a teenager, hasn't it?
Larry.
No, I mean, I'm not being stupid. I don't have the best sense of smell.
Apparently not.
What does it smell like?
You've never walked into a room and smelled sex smell?
Oh, yeah, I know sex smell.
Well,
that's a big component.
That's
like a seventh sense.
That's a big component of the sex smell.
Yankee Candle needs to make a candle.
Ew.
Like
I don't like that
cum.
Smell.
Musky cum.
Well, that's pretty much if you mix all the Yankee Candles together, that's what it smells like.
Like, I need a freshly scrubbed wiener if it's coming anywhere near my nose.
Oh, you don't like raunch wiener?
No, as gross
like
as me
out. Like where it's sweaty and stuff?
No, or if it's been in me, it doesn't go in me. Me anywhere else.
What?
Ugh.
Oh,
gross.
No comment.
Here's what Mel says.
No.
No. I said, no. You wash it first.
All right, we're going to wrap.
You want sucky, sucky, washy, washy.
Racist.
we've gone everywhere tonight.
So I know what I'm going to be next year for Halloween, speaking of what you just said. I was really, really, really thinking of going as a geisha. Geisha, like a geisha, super, but like, shocker, when it comes to kimono sizes, they make like an extra large is, I'm not joking, I think a size 8.
Yeah.
So it was like, oh.
I tried to find just a dress for my, my brother had an Asian element to his wedding, and it was hard because I'm considered a giant.
I know, it's nuts. Nuts.
Well, maybe you can find a nice Asian tailor to sew a couple of them together for
you. Yeah, you travel a lot. Go it's to
Hong Kong?
Thailand or Bali.
I thought you were going to say like a duty-free store to get you a Toblerone bar.
You could go to like Thailand or Bali and get an outfit made cheap.
I'm one of the only... just
well, in Thailand, they won't be confused if you want to.
I know. Thailand's the one country I really have no interest to go to.
Well, you need to if you want to have them make you something.
Yeah.
There.
Wow. All right, so we're going to wrap up with some small town news.
Small town news.
The big town, big town
small
news.
Small town news.
Everybody loves the small town news.
A Charleston man, this comes, of course, from Orleans County, Vermont, where I hail from. A Charleston man with an unusual weapon of choice is facing a felony assault charge in Orleans Superior Court Criminal Division.
Used a spatula.
You're not far off. He allegedly pounded his neighbor with an...
Wait. Pounded his neighbor with... what's the tenderizer?
Nope.
Damn it.
Can I continue?
No, it's so fun to guess. No, it's like, pounded. No. A masher?
No.
A potato masher?
No.
I want to kill someone with a potato masher.
You're going to leave a mark with that.
You'll have waffle face.
Well, you're not going to guess it because it's not something you would think. He allegedly pounded his neighbor with an oven door.
What?
That's why it's in small town news.
Oh, God.
Dakota Moses, 19, formerly of Orleans, pleaded not guilty to a felony count of aggravated assault, and he was released.
You're going
to
get into the details of how this happened, right?
A little bit.
Okay.
Emerson and Shasta Mayhew said a group of people was sitting on their front. I'm reading this right from the... I shortened it up. And
I had no idea Vermont was so white trashy.
Well, in certain parts. Well, you're not going to make the paper for something.
Well, these
if you're
people
not.
Was sitting on the porch.
Was sitting on the front porch of their building when Moses suddenly started panicking and, quote, freaking out, ran upstairs to his apartment and came back down saying he'd lost $50 in cocaine money and that his drug dealer would kill him for losing it. So upon hearing this and being a good neighbor, Robert Mayhew went upstairs to assist Moses in looking for the money. But after a short while, the people downstairs heard a ruckus, and Shasta Mayhew ran upstairs to check on the situation. When she got upstairs, Shasta Mayhew, who was 5 months pregnant at the time, saw Moses whacking her husband in the head with the oven door.
How do you get him to stand right under the door?
Oh, Lord.
Well, I don't know.
He doesn't have legs.
He's like, could you lay down right here? I want to thump you in the head.
During the fight, Shasta Mayhew was pushed up against the table belly first by Moses. She was pregnant. That's why it was in here. So, The first officer and the trooper, Deborah Munson, went upstairs and found Moses hiding in the attic. He was clearly intoxicated, slurring his words, unsteady on his feet, and having a confused demeanor. He blew a 0.158% in blood alcohol concentration.
Well done.
That's not even halfway to Winehouse, so let's not get crazy.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, it is. That's impressive. Jensen, who was the original officer, spoke with Robert Mayhew 3 days after the assault and photographed the 12 staples holding a scalp laceration together.
Oh, gross.
He said he remembered nothing from the incident. The guy who allegedly did it has no past criminal record. In the courtroom, attorney Jill Jordan said Moses was living with his mother now. He is not allowed to possess regulated drugs, drink
or stoves.
Drink alcohol or possess firearms or dangerous weapons. And my question is, if you're going to beat the crap out of somebody to 12 staples with an oven door, isn't
everything
around you a dangerous weapon? Wow. So
you may no longer possess ovens.
Yeah, stay away from the oven.
What about Easy Bake Oven? It's like his re-entry. Which, do you know they're doing away with them?
That's his halfway house.
Because you can't buy those light bulbs anymore.
Oh, no.
Like old light bulbs.
How will young girls know their places in the kitchen?
You douche.
Okay, that one I deserve to get hit for.
I hate
for.
You.
Stop being so Jewish.
Yeah, come on.
I don't even know
Stop
what that means.
Stop being so gay. Yeah.
Oh my God, what are you talking about? Why are you saying I'm gay?
I'm going to have to turn
and
him
Nate,
down again.
Stop being such a dude.
Straight white dude.
Yeah. Want some wings, dude? Yeah.
I would absolutely love some freaking wings, dude.
Fuck yeah, dude. Give me some wings. I've been here.
All right, that's it for another episode of the show. I want to thank Huge Entertainment for the equipment. I want to thank all of our listeners for spreading the word. Check out our merchandise. The link is on Nate Darling Show.
Go to Stitcher or whatever it's called. Stitcher?
The link to Stitcher Radio is on our website, too. You can download it from your app store and search for Nate Darling Show. And you can listen to us right on your phone. And we may have another place where you can listen to us, too, on a mobile device coming up soon. So that's even more exciting. Stitcher is a place where it's primarily podcasts. The other place I can't talk about it yet, but the other place will also allows you to stream radio stations from all over the world. Which is kind of cool. So a lot of cool stuff going on with that. So thank you again for your support. We really, 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 really appreciate it.
I want us to be featured on Delta Airlines on their in-flight entertainment guide.
That would be awesome. I like it. I'm down.
Nate just gave me the weirdest look ever. Like, he didn't even know how to process
that. Wouldn't
that
be cool?
I don't.
I'm going to make some calls.
Because I've never seen anything entertaining on Delta Airlines.
I'm going to – American I have status on, so I'm going to – I'll ask them.
And everybody should remember my birthday is in a few weeks, so start planning now. You can send emails, cards, gifts, an iPod, anything. I love presents and attention.
Dildos?
Sure.
Yeah.
Vibrators?
Yeah.
Oh, anything S&M I'm down for.
There we go.
I can't believe you just said that.
I mean, what?
We've already done the show, Larry.
M&Ms. We're meant M&Ms.
Yeah,
Mel, you need to get on planning our trip.
I know. I was thinking. I have to wait till after the holidays.
That's
it. Could be a good New Year's resolution.
Yeah, I don't think I have a free weekend. That's before after Christmas.
That's not a resolution. Anyway, so that
to go to more sex tours.
It's a tour of an old armory. It's not a sex tour.
Where they have fetish things in the inside.
Yeah.
It's not like going to Thailand to have sex with a 13-year-old. It's an old armory.
Oh, Thailand. When anyone says they go to Thailand, I immediately get suspicious. No good person goes to Thailand. You go to the Thailand version in Epcot Center in Orlando, Florida. Not have to go all the way to Thailand.
Yeah, but then you have to go to Florida. So that's not really a step up in the world, is it?
But you don't have to be looked as someone saying, oh, you like to fuck 14-year-olds.
But you also don't get to fuck a 14-year-old.
All right, that's where we're going to go out this week. Thanks for listening for my friend Larry.
Das be done, you bitches.
And my friend Mel.
We out.
I'm Nate. Have a good one. We'll see you next week.